Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. Things were magical in the first half for Eli Manning and the Giants in Philadelphia. It was just perfect. The Eagles, who are just going down NFL's drain, are getting beat by the Giants 17-3 at halftime. The Eagles fans are booing. Eli Manning is having his night. This Eli redemption story can't get any better. And then all of a sudden in the second half, the Giants can't do anything. End up losing the game in overtime. Don't score another point. And here we are in a 9-game losing streak. And I was thinking about where the Giants are in the rest of this NFL. The worst teams in football have moments. Like the Washington Redskins and Dwayne Haskins. They went down to Carolina. They won that game. The Cincinnati Bengals at 0-11. Andy Dalton comes back and they end up beating the Jets and playing really well. The worst teams in the game have moments. The Giants don't. Are the Giants the worst team in football right now? I think it's probably a question that has an answer of yes this morning after losing 9 in a row and again to the Philadelphia Eagles in dramatic fashion. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, the thing about it is, Gio, is that it could have been 41-3, and then you could have really come in here and just ripped into the Giants and Pat Shurmur and everybody else. But it was actually a competitive game from the standpoint of the amount of points scored, but the lack of offense in the second half was, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was amazing how bad it was. I think they had like 29 total yards in the second half on 21 plays or something. It was awful. You would think that you could hand the ball to Saquon Barkley every play and gain more yards than they did trying to throw the ball and run the ball. So it was like a nice first half, and Eli found Darius Slayton, a couple nice passes and the bad weather and all that other stuff, and it was really good. They covered the number, which we felt like they would, right?
Yes, that's right.
All right, so all that stuff is great. And then, of course, the second half, they morph into what the Giants have been with Eli prior to the first half. And that's one of the reasons why Daniel Jones is here. And it just became a listless, tired-looking team that just didn't really compete on offense. Now, I would tell you that the defense gave up 3 points in the second half. I mean, in the first half. They gave up 2 touchdowns until the overtime. I mean, and I know that they gave up the game, you know, tying touchdown, but the point being that the offense disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Disappeared. And this has been the problem for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I wonder if Daniel Jones started this game last night, how it would have gone, if they would have been able to finish him off. And the Giants defense, we know how bad it is. There is only so long that they were hanging on by a thread. They were doing everything they could to stay in that game. You know, you knew that Zach Ertz would be wide open at some point. You knew that there would be, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, whoever the hell they got playing at wide receiver now, yeah, was going to make a big catch at some point, because that's just who they are. I mean, they are not a unit that can compete at a high level in professional football for 4 quarters.
Yeah, I think that they didn't screw up the draft slot right now.
Well, that's good.
They're still the number 2 pick overall, which means it's going to be Chase Young if they decide to stay there and not trade out of there and get up some more picks or whatever. But, you know, and they it was a nice first half. I mean, look, for me, it's kind of like what I thought was going to happen, and I just – I told you the winds are starting to blow against Pat Shurmur now. You know, they the last couple of weeks you could really start to feel it, and they continue to lose. And now they're talking about losing streaks. I mean, like, Giant fans are like living in Never Neverland if they thought they were going to win a game last night.
No, but hold on. There's a difference though. So going into the game, of course, not a lot of Giants fans thought they were going to win. But then up 17-3, and they actually felt good about themselves for the first time in months.
They had their moment.
But they didn't, though. That's the problem.
They only had the moment for a half.
Right, which is not a moment.
Well, I think they had their moment when they won at Tampa Bay with a rookie quarterback. I think that was it.
But they got to 2-2 or 1-2 at that point. I'm talking about they've lost 9 in a row.
Hey, Gio, we didn't expect them to win last night.
No, but it's how it happens. You know that. I didn't expect them to win either. But the sense that I got, now maybe a Giant fan wakes up this morning and says, great, you know, I want Chase Young, and as nasty as last night ended up being, at least we still have that. But the sense that I got from the Giant fan last night on social media while this thing was going down was that they were legitimately pissed because they started to – they haven't had a reason to feel good since September or early October, and they had it last night, and then it was snatched away from them. You know, as a sports fan, you know, forget about the draft pick for a second. You just want a reason to feel good. We talk about it with the Knicks all the time. They don't give you any reason to feel good. This Giants season, they haven't had any reason to feel good, to celebrate, and everything else. Now, maybe they will at MetLife Stadium next week. Eli Manning, the send-off game against the Dolphins. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's their moment. But last night could have been too. And by the way, the Eagles stink. The NFC East is one of the worst divisions I've ever seen in my football viewing life. They are terrible. They're
right.
Bad offensively. Yes. They've got no weapons. The defense is just a sieve in the secondary. I mean,
you feel like Carson Wentz is out there running around just trying to make plays.
He's got nothing outside of Zach Ertz at this point.
And really, ultimately, that was the difference in the game. It was the energy of the younger quarterback in the second half. That's basically what it came down to. Now, look, it's not Eli's fault, but what it is it is a systemic problem that the Giants have had for 5 years. Maybe not five, maybe four, but I just, you know, where they are right now, the last thing you want them to do is win. And the reason I say that is because you want the draft pick. You want the high draft pick where there's a can't miss player there.
Yeah.
And you want that guy to turn into your Nick Bosa, the Joey
Bosa.
Sure,
yeah, you're right about that.
That's the guy you need in the worst way. If they decide to go that way. Now, I'm just telling you, I know you wake up this morning, they lose, and everybody's miserable, and oh, they suck, this sucks, and Pat Shurmur sucks, get rid of him. All right, I get it, I hear it. The winds are blowing that way.
Yeah.
They're definitely blowing that way. And the more he loses, the more the Maras and the Tishas are going to get angry, you know, especially losing to the Eagles, especially if they lose to the Dolphins next week at home. It's going to get ugly, and then the coach is going to get booed, and the next thing you know, you're going to be talking about another coach. And then you're going to be talking about another offense. And then you're going to be talking about maybe you know, a little bit of a stunting of the growth of Daniel Jones in that regard. So I don't know. I don't know what you wanted. I don't know what people wanted.
What they wanted was for them to finish off a game. They were up 17-3 against the bad team. That's what they wanted. And in the moment. Now, like I said, maybe, you know, after you go to bed, after you wake up and you say, okay, you know, you get a chance at one of the best defenders in the draft. Maybe that's a good thing. The season has been lost for months and months. Who cares? Maybe that's the way they feel. But you can't tell me there was any Giant fan out there in that moment, or most of them, I'll say majority of them, in that moment. They wanted to see Eli finish that off, especially against the Eagles and the history against that team and the dramatic losses and everything else. You wanted to win the game.
I know that. I know. And I have guys that were texting me after the game last night, you know, it's just another, you know, blip on Shurmur. He's only won 7 games.
They hate Shurmur.
I know that. They do. So that's why I'm saying the winds are changing, and you could feel it. And you know that they are just pounding away at the Maras and the Tishas and the social media and everything. It's now a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Now it is. It's the reality of what happens to a coach here when the team looks like it did in the second half last night. And then he looks like he does on the sideline, like just like Fizdale did, just like Hines did. You know, Gase doesn't want to look like this next year. This is not what you want to look like.
Right.
I'm just telling you, this is it. You know, Carlos Beltran does not want to look like this. You know, Aaron Boone does not want to look like this. David Quinn doesn't want to look like this.
Sure.
Barry Trotz will never look like this because all that guy does is win. But I'm just, it's just now it's Shurmur's turn. He's in the blender of coaches now for the New York fan base. And it's only going to get uglier here the next 3 weeks, unless, of course, somehow they win next week or whatever. But I can also hear the cynical Giant fan saying, oh, yeah, we're going to beat the lousy Dolphins and we're going to lose our second pick overall.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, what's the priority
They're going to want to win that.
But what's the priority here? Is the priority, because if you want the coach to be fired, you got to continue to lose.
I don't know. If they end up winning their last 3 games and they look great in those games, maybe there's a chance that Pat Shurmur keeps his job. But at this point, don't you think that this has been signed, sealed, and delivered? You're telling me that there's something that the Giants can do at this point to make Pat Shurmur look like he deserves to keep his job? You had to really screw this season up for him to not get an opportunity to coach Daniel Jones in a second year and to have his third year as a head coach with the patience that I think John Mara wanted to have after the Ben McAdoo deal. And he's done exactly that.
Yeah, but
it's a 9-game losing streak. And right now I can make a case that they're the worst team in football.
You heard Steve Tisch at the luncheon the other day. You heard what he said.
Sure.
You know, that's all you need to know is that that's the way the winds are blowing right now. And the fan base is getting antsy, and they're going to compare Shermer's record to Tom Coughlin's record, to Bill Parcells' records, and blah, 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 and the Super Bowls and all this other stuff, and this guy's going to get run out of town.
It might be the right choice, though.
It is 100% obvious right now.
Okay, yeah, right. That's what the fan base wants. So there's some organizations that'll stick by their guy because they believe in him, but Pat Shermer isn't giving enough reason to the Giants brass to believe in
him. They were around 500 or something, and you know when he stood up in front of the media after a game and gave some level of like confidence or anger or something like that. I really don't know what the look is that you want. And when you're losing, and you're losing as many in a row as they have lost, and then your players start coming out, oh, we find ways to lose and this and that. That all goes, unfortunately, to the feet of the coaches. It is.
Pat Shermer, he had to finish that one off. He had to. 17-3 in that locker room. Screw the draft pick. In his mind, he's coaching for his coaching life. This could be his last opportunity ever to be a head coach. 17-3 in that locker room. He had to win the game. He had to.
Well,
listen.
They want to win. I know that. Believe me, the players and the coaches want to win. They're not going out there trying to lose.
Of course they're not.
And, you know, they're not thinking about draft picks next year, because if you're thinking about draft picks next year, you'll be commenting on those draft picks from another spot in your life.
They're the worst team in football right now?
They're right there, man. They are right there. I mean, if they played the Bengals, I think the Bengals would beat them.
Redskins?
Well, we're going to find out, right?
But if you look at, right, and they'll have the head-to-head coming up, but the Redskins go into Lambeau, played a better game against the Packers than the Giants did at home against the Packers.
Yeah, I know, but you can't, like, week to week in the NFL, just, man, who knows? If we all felt that way and we thought that had something to do with the way the team was going to play next week, we'd all be like 100% on our picks, right? I mean, we don't know that.
I'm just trying to make a case for them being the worst team in the game, which is...
I think they are. I mean, I think they are.
So right now, they're the worst team in football.
The Redskins actually have a little bit better defense, you know, and I don't know how good, you know, Haskins is not slightly. Playing great, but...
That right there is all you need to know. All you had to do this year, if you're Pat Shermer, is not be the worst team in football, and he's done that. He has authored this season.
Yeah,
we sit here heading into...
And they're playing a lot of young
week
guys,
15.
Man.
They're the worst team in football.
Yeah, they are, especially defensively.
I mean, I want to hear young guys. The Dolphins traded every one of their players away.
At least they battle.
Right. Battle. Mickey Callaway battle. Yeah, I mean, the Miami Dolphins traded away everybody, and that team is playing hard and competing and winning some games. Right, because of the moxie of Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Yeah, it's rough right now. And a Giant fan, I do not, you know, blame a Giants fan for being prideful, for wanting their team to be great all the time. You know, I have said that the expectations were a little bit too high heading into this season, but now that it's gotten to the point where you've lost 9 in a row, you're blowing games like this on national TV. I mean, it is really, this is, if this isn't rock bottom, I don't know what is.
That second half last night was...
It was what we've seen for how many years?
We've seen it for 3 years now, 4 years now.
And I was as much as we wanted to see a quarterback change for the Giants for many years with Eli Manning, you know, in that first half, it was really cool to watch.
It was great.
I thought that was an awesome sports moment there for a while. You know, and that second touchdown pass to Slayton was more him. You know, recognizes it right away, gets the ball down the field, launches it. I mean, it was just like, it was great. I mean, it was really fun to watch, and then all of a sudden, it was like they can't do it. They're not capable. They're not capable of finishing. They're not capable of playing defense at a high level for four quarters. They're not capable of getting a big third down conversion when they need it late in the game. They can't do it. They physically are unable to do it.
Yeah, there was no running for a first down last night.
No, obviously not. Obviously not.
I'll tell you who was running though last night. Al was running last night.
Yeah,
I was all flying, pumped up, man, at the old Christmas party last night.
They woke up a little bit congested, though. I don't know if that was the hotel or was the...
this morning, had a little headache.
The partying, I don't know. Who knows?
Had some black coffee, though.
You did.
It was like a miracle drug.
It's all good,
drug.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who's the worst out of you guys?
I'm not doing great.
I think, yeah, you're right there.
Really,
yeah,
G?
I'm not doing great. I could be doing better.
I think I only sound bad.
Yes.
But I think Gio feels bad.
Yeah, yeah. I ran into Gio right when I got there last night. I said, how you doing? He goes, hey, man, I'm already into this, man. Come on, man.
I had
let's
a
go.
Good time.
You know? I know you were right into it.
I had a good time.
You were making rounds last night.
Had to celebrate. Yeah. Had to celebrate. Had to talk. We talked to Pat Boyle for a little bit. Oh. So I had a good night.
I mean, honestly, I felt like you were his ring coach. You got so close to him.
Well, I wanted to explain to him, he's not a bad guy.
No, he's a good kid.
But he's not a bad guy.
I mean, but you got up all up in his grill.
It was not up in his grill. It was a great conversation. We had a great conversation.
Like I'm just saying, if you were in the ring with Deontay Wilder and you were like his ring dude, what do they call that guy?
The guy in the corner, the ring dude. What do you mean?
Is he like his coach or what do they call
him? Trainer.
Trainer.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
There's a ring dude. I'm like, what are you talking about? The referee?
Trainer gets in there. You know how the guy's sitting down and, you're looking right in the guy's face and you're screaming at him? That's how I felt you were like with Pat Boyle last night.
Hey, I'm the star of WFAN. I'm WFAN's Pat Boyle.
Say that kind of guy. You were right in his face last night.
Hey-o! But in his face in a good way. It was very loud in there. I had to get close for him to hear what I had to say.
You were close, all right.
So I just, just explained to him the deal.
The funny thing is that Eddie brought him over to us.
Yeah, I know. And then Al wanted
and
the picture.
Eddie, and then there's Eddie. Eddie's like taking, looking at us puppy dog guys like, he's over there. Can you guys talk to him? I'm like, all right, we'll talk to him.
The Stunat of the week.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.